to the second hour of We the People Radio. My name is Erin Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
And if you missed the first hour, well, we can't possibly recap it. It basically is everything you learned about financial education, and then you squash it up and throw it in the garbage.
Yeah.
And do it the other way. Really, you ought to go back and listen. So just by way of reminding people, actually, all of the archives on our site at wethepeopleradio.us, all of the archives are free to listen to. They are uninterrupted, a.k.a. the free enterprise moments have been exempted. And we hope you make use of them. They're free to download, share, do whatever you want with them. I don't copyright anything. The website, you can take whatever you want off of it. I'm not going to send you one of those weird letters like I get every now and then. One of our South Africa shows, they sent me a letter, wanted $10,000 because I used the image of, I don't know, some guy in Africa. And it was like, okay, yeah, no. So go ahead and use our stuff. We don't care. We do.
And they'll send you the letter for $10,000.
We do it so that you can get smarter. So this particular topic on the gas crisis in California, Nevada, Arizona is, of course, going to be a contagion because it'll involve...
Soon go to Oregon, Washington, the whole West Coast.
It'll involve everyone else. But we have been talking about this a lot. So before you go, oh, no, are they talking about that again? Yeah, we're talking about it again. Because now the Defense Production Act is in play. So this is kind of like a, I don't know, it's like a slow moving train a little bit, but it's going a lot faster, I think, than most people would be comfortable with. Our guest is Mike Ariza. We only have Mike on today, not Professor Miche or Stan Ellis, but their information is on the multiple shows. This is actually part six of this kind of series about the oil and gas issue. But I've linked the article, today's article, President Trump invokes energy emergency law to restart California offshore oil, written by Katie Grimes in the California Globe, and that is right on the page for today, March 15, 2026. We've created a domain for this to push out the information so it's all in one place for you, and that is at gascrisis.org, and that gives you a bunch of video, lots of printed material, all of the previous radio programs, the bios of our guests. It's very credible information. And if you look at the letters, and they're also printed on there, we're going to talk about those. I'm sure they'll be referenced. Chevron, PBF, Marathon have all written letters to the California Air Resources Board. And in that, they cite the paper, the comprehensive analysis that was submitted by our three serial guests, we'll call them. That paper is the one that those corporations have referenced. So this is something that we should all be like watching and pounding on the government for. And this is not the Iran conflict. That's what's coming out through the news is California gas prices are going up because of that. But let's see. We'll ask our guest Mike Ariza. Who is a veteran. Thanks for that, Mike. Thank you for your service. And was the senior plant operationer, is the senior plant operating engineer at California State University, Chico. So I don't even know what that entails, but it's beyond my pay grade. And he was the control board operator at Flying J. He was environmental controls and senior refinery technician at the Exxon Valero Benicia refinery. So he's done all of this stuff. This is not something he read in a book or saw on a YouTube. He is on the YouTube, actually. We've got lots of video of you. So good afternoon, Mike, and we'll just let you take it away.
Hey, hello. Thanks for having me on again.
Of course.
The Defense Production Act was invoked for Sable to be able to start pumping crude oil off of its three platforms, Heritage, Hondo, and Harmony, up the Santa Barbara coast. They will, in fact, start pumping oil back into the state, which when I ran Valero, we used to receive their oil as part of the crude oil slate that we actually ran. So that's a step in the right direction. Unfortunately, it's not going to do us a damn bit of good to pump oil into our state if we don't have refineries to refine crude oil. Yes.
Yeah, no.
Well, right now, I'm right now, I'm not. Right now, given the state's track record, I wouldn't even call it even money to say those other six refineries that Chevron, PBF, and Marathon represent will still be online within a year or so from now. And if they go down, we're in Mad Max.
Yeah. So what's that leave us, one?
Yeah, and then they'll shut down. That's the Valero refinery at Wilmington. They're not going to stay open.
No, no. Well, you had a you had mentioned on a previous show, you had a picture of a Valero station in Southern California. What was the price at the pump there?
Oh, that was, yeah, Chevron, and then Arco was $10.26 a gallon.
Yeah, $10.26. Yeah, so that's coming our way. It won't, it'll just creep up the coast eventually. $10.26 a gallon. Man, what are people going to do when they roll up and have to pay $10, $12 a gallon for gasoline, and they got to commute? You know, that's...
Well, the big mistake is they'll think, well, once this whole, first of all, they'll be mad about the Iran thing, and they'll think that once that is done, that everything will go back to normal. But that isn't in the cards, because that's not what's causing it.
Yeah, Aaron and Bill, that's correct. The thing is, there's a couple things. We predicted that Valero was going to go down 3 months early, and it did. It went down January 31st. That's when they pulled crude oil feed from the crude unit. After that, every unit cascades down, offline. So Valero's been offline since January 31st, and as soon as they went offline, prices in California started to go up. I think before the Iran war hit, we were looking at 80 to 90 cent a gallon increases in California. No place else in America, just California. And the reason for that is the fact that all these fuel oil tankers, not crude oil tankers, fuel oil tankers, jet, diesel, gasoline, the state has pretty much reached its limit with its infrastructure on its ability to offload those tankers. And in our discussions, myself, Professor Miche, and Assemblyman Ellis, we were concerned that California had indeed reached that critical point where we couldn't handle anymore. And once Valero went down, 4.3 million gallons a day of gasoline, 1.2 to 1.4 million gallons a day of jet fuel and diesel, once that went offline, prices started going up. That was before the Iranian war started.
Mm-hmm.
Once the Iranian war started, there's a couple things there. California, as you know, in discussions with Professor Miche, and you know, we import 70% of our crude oil, not fuel oil, crude oil. And of that, 30% of it comes from the Middle East. That's far higher than any place in our whole country. So you get that effect. In addition, the restrictions in the Strait of Hormuz are reducing the amount of crude oil that's going to the Asian countries that are refining crude oil to make our fuel. So we're getting basically a double whammy. In addition, China is now producing our fuel, some of our fuel, a percentage of it. And Beijing basically told all of its refineries no more gasoline and diesel exports for right now. So they've totally shut those off. So we're getting hit from all sides, where the rest of the country, again, it's going up in the rest of the country, prices are, because of the Iranian war now, but not like they are here in California.
Yeah, it's kind of given the decision makers in California cover. I mean, because the Democrats in the legislature and the governor absolutely have been telling everybody this isn't a thing. And, well, we all know.
I talked to a lady with ABC News. You know, we've been going back and forth, and I said, you know, you guys, all you know, up and down L.A., San Francisco, you guys keep reporting Valero's. Well, Valero's going down in April. No, they went down. They've been down, and the prices started going up because they went down. They're not reporting that. Those prices at 80 or 90 cents a gallon initial in February that our gas prices went up has nothing to do with the Iranian war. It has to do with the fact that we cannot keep up with the amount of fuel that's being brought in here. And if those other refineries go down, we're not going to be able to find the fuel. We're not going to be able to offload it. We're just going to have situations where, you know, cities have 3 or 4 days of food supply. It's a matter of simple logistics. If you don't have diesel to get these trucks, to get food into the cities, to get, you know, agriculture, emergency vehicles, all that stuff, the Chevron CEO said that they make 60%, Richmond Refinery makes 60% of San Francisco's jet. And then PBF in their letters say they make 40% of San Francisco's jet. My math says that's 100% of San Francisco's jet fuel that will be offline. So you know that's going to translate to Oakland, San Jose, Sacramento, LAX, and of course all of our military installations will be.
Yeah. So how much refined fuels, let's say gasoline, how much comes in a tanker across the ocean? What do they hold?
I don't know exactly what they hold, honestly, Bill. I know we're importing about 42% of the gasoline that we should be making is being imported.
Yeah.
We're almost to half.
Yeah. I'm just curious how many tankers we're going to have to get in to offset what these refineries aren't putting out.
That's the problem. They're not available. When I went to pick my wife up when she came back from Guangzhou, there were like seven or eight tankers anchored out there in the out there in San Pablo Bay. Running their engines, running their generators, smoking onto the atmosphere,
waiting to unload.
Waiting to unload. Yes.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
That's the problem. You could have 30 tankers. You'd have 30 tankers out there. Which there's not that many tankers out there. That's another problem. The ability to make that much more fuel. You're talking 700,000 barrels a day of crude oil that would go offline with those four refineries, six refineries. You could have tanker after tanker out there, but you can't offload them. Doesn't do any good. It just looks like it's just a bunch of tankers out there.
Yeah. Well, you're right, though, on the diesel fuel. If we can't get diesel fuel into California, you're going to have chaos because you're not going to be able to get products to the retailers, and I'm talking grocery stores, electronics, everything.
Everything
gets delivered by truck, and that's diesel fuel. And if they have those products on board and they have to go to California and they can't get diesel, they're not coming.
That's correct.
It's just not going to be available. It won't be high prices. It'll be a shortage.
Yes, sir.
And that's, I think, people need to know that. You're going to start seeing empty shelves because the shortage of diesel.
Yeah, that's the biggest issue. It's basically shutting down the port of Los Angeles, No fuel for ships going in. You get ships trying to offload, then going out. You don't have fuel for them to get underway. You don't have diesel to run all the different equipment that runs at the port. You don't have diesel for the trucks to haul stuff, groceries, and the like. Like I said, cities, and realistically, I've been podcast a couple times now, but Friday with retired Brigadier General Blaine Holt, and he's incredibly sharp. C-17, KC-135 pilot. He was high up in NATO, worked a lot of logistics during his time within his career in the Air Force, and he just flat out said it's simple logistics, and city's got 3 or 4 days of food. Logistics, you can't get it there. And yes, it will be nothing but chaos up and down the state, the whole West Coast, and this translates to the whole country. That's where the problem
sure does.
Is you compromise the West Coast, then you compromise in the whole country. And then you get people like Katie Grimes, just wonderful investigative reporter, writer, just phenomenal. We all know that. She's writing, looking at the connection now and finding out that China, environmental policies from China are what is being used by our Air Resource Board to put out their policies on our refineries. From Tsingtao University, which is also where Xi Jinping went, she's confirmed there's Chinese policies that are being looked at and used to determine what our policies are. She wrote about that.
I didn't think China had any air quality restrictions.
They don't for them.
Yeah, for them. Exactly.
But hey, if we were going to take over the West without firing a shot,
Cripple the refineries, their economic system.
What a tricky idea. We have to take a swift break here, but when we come back, Mike, let's do a, the elevator speech on why you know, that there are no pipelines coming in. Like, for people that are just kind of coming in on this idea that are going, well, that's silly. They'll do, you know, all the myriad of things that we hear. And the fact that those things are not available to us, maybe you could disabuse them of their happy thoughts. Meanwhile, we will play It's the End of the World for you, just so you can get in the mood for that segment coming up.
All right.
And you're listening to We the People. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. Credit that to Bob Martin.
Nice. I might be a little off base here, but Mike, I have a quick question. I've heard of people using used cooking oil as a replacement for gas. Is there anything to that?
No.
Hey, you're not Mike.
That's one of the things you're using to manufacture the renewable diesel.
Oh.
Interesting.
Yeah, fat, soybean, like soybean oil, and like fat lard and used cooking oil. They're using that to, they're refining that into the renewable diesel.
Renewable diesel. You know, years ago, we were down in Long Beach. We stayed in a hotel down there that was, oh, I don't know, three or four blocks from the Long Beach harbor, and where they unload all the containers. And I don't know if how many people have actually seen that operation down there, but I was amazed at how many thousands and thousands of containers they handle, loading and unloading off these big ships. But when they, you know, they've got these big cranes that lift them off and set them down onto a little trolley that a little truck, diesel truck grabs it and takes it out in the yard, and then a forklift unloads it and puts, I mean, it's a huge operation.
Yeah.
Unless those big cranes are electric, from the cranes to the trucks that move the containers, all run on diesel.
Yeah.
And you know, if you don't have, you know, we talk about no jet fuel. Well, if you don't have any diesel, the things that that's going to impact, it's everything. It's everything.
Long Beach and the Port of Los Angeles, defective country. Stuff goes into our country, not just California.
Right. Yeah, that's where they
that's true. We can't just hog the entire port just so we can get gas because we're too stupid to use the oil we have under our feet.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's a huge operation, and I'm not exaggerating when I say thousands and thousands of containers every day go in and out of there. And you know, a lot of them go out on rail. Well, I got news for you. Trains run on diesel, too. They run their big electric generators on diesel. If they can't get diesel, trains aren't going to run either. So it's serious.
It's thunder. Yes, it's Thunderdome.
Yes, it's like I said, a total economical collapse. Going back to Aaron's question before the break, what California, you know, America is the envy of the world, and California used to be the envy of America. California has the fifth largest oil reserves. California used to produce so much oil that we exported crude oil. It's quite a while ago, but that's a fact. We used to actually export crude oil. We were definitely self-sustaining, and California, if people listening can think, it's set up like its own country. It didn't need pipelines coming in
to the state, so no pipelines have ever been built coming into the state, because California has always had its own crude oil. California has always had more than sufficient refineries to take care of itself, along with Arizona and Nevada. So we've always had that ability. And California has almost, for decades, 100 years plus, has acted like its own country, its own self-sustaining country, and done really well with the fourth or fifth largest economy in the world. But these policies have that the governor, Herdell, has threw in here, and this air board that's getting their policies from China on what to do with our refineries, it's totally destroying that. We're going to go from the fourth or fifth largest economy in the world to the largest economical disaster in the history of the United States. And that's all because California was built with the infrastructure to take care of itself and take care of itself well, handle its own needs. Now, and it's not even with these refineries that are still running, with them threatening to shut down the six refineries. We're in a terrible state right now. Our military right now is at a terrible risk. Right now, not later. So right. It's imperative. It's absolutely imperative now that they invoke the Defense Production Act to protect our refineries, or we're going to go off a cliff.
Yeah, it's the refineries. You're right. I'm glad that he opened up the offshore drilling, but not going to really help if we get all this oil in here and we can't do anything with it. You know, we can't refine it.
Well, yeah. So I just was looking at the article, and I have linked that on today's deal. It is called President Trump Invokes Emergency Law to Restart California Offshore Oil. So U.S. Secretary of Energy Chris Wright Friday directed Sable Offshore Corporation to restore operations of the San Ynez unit and the pipeline system. That was March 14th, 2026. So that, you know, and basically it explains the presidential directives issued under congressional authority carry the force of federal law and may override conflicting state regulations. The Pipeline and Gas Journal explains that an order issued as an exercise of congressionally delegated authority or the president's constitutional powers has the force of federal law under the Supremacy Clause and may preempt contrary state law. Well, we have like lots of contrary state stuff going on here, and if they don't override that, here later in her article, she says, most California residents know that California's self-inflicted gasoline crisis is not only increasing prices at the pump, but increasing dependency on foreign oil suppliers and shippers to supply fuels to the Golden State. California's self-inflicted gas crisis is also a direct threat to the U.S. military force readiness on the West Coast.
So, yes, and Chevron and Marathon both cite that. They both cite our report, which refers directly to military readiness. They cite that. You know, Newsom said it's a bunch of bull. No, Governor, you're a bunch of bull. This is a real problem. America is threatened, and it threatens the United States. It actually threatens the entire. You take the West Coast down. What they're doing.
Well, yeah, even in this article, it reminds Arizona gets nearly half of its gas from California, and the vast majority of Nevada gas, 88%, I thought it was 80, it's 88% comes from California.
And I look at those percentages, Aaron, and I say, okay, what's the bottom line? Reno and Vegas have nothing. They have no seaports. They rely on our pipelines.
Yeah.
The pipeline coming from south to Vegas and the pipeline from Sacramento running up to Reno. They have nothing. They have no other way,
no
rail, no trucks, no nothing.
No. And California, Nevada, and Arizona have 40 military bases and installations. California is home to 32 of those 40. And it cites Stan Ellis, the assemblyman that's been on with us. In October, Assemblyman Ellis told the Globe that California military bases could end up running out of jet and aviation fuels should a military conflict unfold, because Governor Newsom's political policies are resulting in shockingly detrimental and lethal regulations for the oil and gas industry. I mean,
yes.
This is not a what if. This isn't a Agenda 2030 slow creep. This is at the door. Wolves at the door.
It's now.
Well, there was something else that floated through my head, and then I saw that thing about Stan. But I know your town hall. Talk about that. We posted that on gascrisis.org. It's the top thing on that page. And it is a town hall that you are doing in Chico. I realize if people don't live in Chico, they might not want to go to it, but you have ways for them to participate.
Yes. We got a limited number on Zoom, but a few students in Chico were talking about it, and I struck up a conversation with them, and they're really interested, needless to say. You know, they're seeing what's going on, and a few of them got together and reserved a room in the BMU building at Chico State. So on April 2nd at 5:30, we're going to have a town hall there. The professor, Professor Miche, and Assemblyman Ellis will be on via Zoom. And then other, I think there's up to 100 participants we can have on Zoom. And we're going to discuss, you know, I'm just going to do an introduction, and we're going to go over kind of the history from the 80s briefly up to where we are today, between the three of us. And then, we're going to field any questions that, you know, folks have that are actually attending on site, and, or try to go ahead and get questions in that folks have on Zoom. So this is going to be kind of the first town hall we've done on this. I'm hoping, you know, my friends here that I work with at the campus, they really want to see this expand. So hopefully we'll be able to do something down in Sacramento, maybe even go down south, you know, towards L.A. Just to get the word out, because so many people, they just don't know. Now they're seeing the prices screaming up. Kind of going, what the heck's going on? Well, this is what's going on.
But it's happening just like we thought it would, though. That what people are thinking is, oh, and look at Trump did it. And then what'll be the thing, right? If he invokes invoking Defense Production Act, now he's acting like a king. And you can hear all this narrative, and honestly, even those of you who just hate the guy and think he does everything wrong, you really need to take a look at this, because that isn't what's going on. This exists outside of that.
Even what's going on was part of what we were predicting. We predicted Valero's shut down. We predicted the gas prices to start going. We also, if you have storms that can impact tankers coming in, a problem at the Port of Los Angeles, like the cargo tank ship that caught on fire, any type of world event that could occur, which is in fact occurring now, all of those things could especially cripple California, because California is extremely vulnerable compared to the rest of the country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, these were all things that we knew was going to happen with Valero. And, you know, you look at the events that have occurred with Iran and the Strait of Hormuz, and again, not nearly as much as the rest of the country is not nearly as affected as California is, because California has set itself up in this vulnerable position that we're in.
Stan, back in the late 70s.
No, it's Mike.
What?
It's Mike.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mike. Did I say Stan?
I can do my Stan, though.
Okay.
I can do my Stan.
Can you channel Stan for us?
Yeah, do that. Back in the late 70s, early 80s, we had a gas shortage. And we came out of it. I mean, it was kind of a short-lived thing, but we came out of it. What's the difference between then and now?
The difference between then and now is we had 41 refineries in California to get us back out of it. That was a crude oil shortage. That was a crude oil embargo.
Mm-hmm.
So once the crude oil was restored, the whole country and California had the refineries to start refining again and get the country off of its knees. Now, if we end up in a shortage, which we're there right now, but when we get into a critical shortage, we can't get ourselves out of it. We don't have the refineries to recover. We'll stay in a shortage, and it will be long-lived and long-term.
Right. And these refineries that are going down, let's say Trump invokes the federal government to come in. All right, restart those refineries.
You can't really do that.
Yeah, you can't. But how long would it take if they said, all right, we're going to restart them?
It depends on how long the refinery's been down. And like we had talked before, you got to do different things. So this refinery now is going into mothball. It's not going into turnaround. So all of their intermediate tanks, which provide hydrocarbon to the heavier processing units, they're empty. Normally you would have material in those tanks to help restart those units. Normally you would have crude oil in the crude oil tanks. As a matter of fact, they would be full waiting to restart the refinery. So all these tanks are grain. These units that do cracking and conversion where they'll have catalysts, they would normally have catalysts, new catalysts ready on site, dump the old catalyst, replace the new catalyst to come back up. Same thing with like the coker at Benicia, the fluid coke. Normally you'd have fluid coke in the coke silos and then they would push it back to the unit to restart. Well, it's all gone. Everything's all gone.
Because when you say turnaround, you mean, because some of this is industry chatter that we don't know. So when you say, you know, they're mothballed, that means they're closing to close. But turnaround would be...
Turnaround means they're doing the maintenance that they have to do, and they'll make improvements.
And they do that anyway. That's like a normal thing.
They do that anyway. But that's another thing, you know, when you're going to spend $200-700 million on a turnaround. Well, with all this coming on, you're not going to do that. PBF's going down right now. One of the refineries is shortly, but they're just doing minimum what they got to do. They're not doing, and a turnaround could cost up to $1 billion depending on what they're doing. There's one when I was there where they did a lot of stuff. They changed out an entire tower, a column, put a brand new one in place. Rented the cranes to do it with. It was a 1 million-pound lift for that tower. It depends on what they're doing, but in the mothball state, just shutting down, then all these things that you would have in place to restart the refinery are no longer in place. And then most important of all things is the qualified people that are no longer on site to restart the refinery.
Mm-hmm.
All of the refineries are complex to restart. The Valero refinery is the most complex to restart. All those people are gone. They're gone. And you're not going to, they go to Texas, they go to Louisiana, or they just retire, You're not going to get very many of them that are want to come, hey, you can come back and help us with this. They're in Louisiana. No, I'm done. Thank you. Have a nice day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not coming back to Cali.
So they may never restart.
It's hard. It would be really hard. If you lose a refineries en masse like the other six that may go down, with Valero down and with Phillips 66 down and Wilmington, you're not going to restart them all at the same time. It's going to take time. You'll have to bring them up one or at the most two at a time, and you're looking at months for each one.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the situation we're in. We get into a shortage, which we're already there. We're right on the precipice of it. When we go into shortages and those other refineries go down, then we can't recover ourselves out of it like we did back in the 70s.
Yes, on that cheerful note, take one more quick break, and then we'll... No, it's okay. It's been a whole day filled with, kind of bad news a little bit. Trying to make up for our bad news with some fun songs. I have one for the governor. I was listening to the radio the other day, and I said to myself, self, this would be a terrific song for the governor on one of our shows. So we'll go out with that, and you'll all know it. You're listening to We the People. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Feeling better now that we're through. Feeling better.
Linda Ronstadt and the animals, they'll tell us everything we need to know.
I'm out of here.
The roadmap for the future. But, you know, seriously, on a political note, if people are not understanding what's happening with this is, I mean, I realize it's hardcore partisan and, you know, that makes me bad, but it's the Democrats that have done this, honestly. And if we do not pick a Republican governor, and I know everybody's busy, you know, clutching their pearls. Oh, so-and-so knelt for BLM. That was a lie, by the way. You know, this happened, that happened, the other thing happened. It's like, okay, we have only ever in the history of mankind have had one perfect person, and we killed him. So we're not really good with perfection. We don't need a perfect person. We just need somebody who isn't part of the ruling party in Sacramento. We need somebody who will not sign their bills and someone who will rein in the bureaucracy, because we are currently living under the tyranny of term limits where the bureaucrats run the state. California Air Resources Board, the Council on Environmental Quality, we've just... Like, little FYI, though, on the bottom of every page, if you go to gascrisis.org, on the bottom of the video page, on the bottom of the media articles page, and the front page with the documents and the letters from the oil companies, the refiners, I mean, I have links to the California Air Resources Board, the California Environmental Quality Act, there's a link there to that, and the California Energy Commission. You have all three of those there. Go read what they want for you, just in case you were curious or that think we're making this up. This is a policy-driven nightmare that we're living.
Well, I know I had a little fellow stop by the store the other day and inspected our air compressor and slipped us a bill for $200. He just wanted to make sure we had a permit posted by the air compressor, and it was running right, which I think I'm able to fix it if it's not running right. But yeah, here, that's $200. Thank you very much. Like, wow.
Fundraising at its best.
Yes, they have their hands in everything, California.
Oh, they really do. I mean, we pay the highest in everything, property taxes, energy, just our energy costs besides fuel. Yep. Just outrageous.
Yep. And this, I hope I'm wrong, but I have a feeling this gas thing is going to bring this state to its knees, and there will be chaos because there's so many people, you know, a lot of people live paycheck to paycheck, and when all of a sudden you go from $4 or $3 a gallon for gas to $10, $12 a gallon for gas, people can't pay it. So what are you going to do?
No, they can't pay it. And then, you know, when you go and it's like 10, 9, 8, 9, whatever the price ends up being, and you don't have any.
Yeah.
You don't have it. That's a whole different can of worms there. It's, you know, when we had the toilet paper shortages, we saw what that did. This will just, it's going to be chaotic. It's going to be...
Bill didn't have a toilet paper shortage because his wife lives in a perpetual state of end-of-the-world preparation. And so my focus on Thunderdome left us in great position for that. But... So, Mike, from a volume standpoint, because honestly, none of us look at oil and gas really like on an ongoing basis. But in this article that Katie wrote, Secretary Wright said Sable's facility can produce approximately 50,000 barrels of oil per day, which is a 15% increase to California's in-state production. It can only replace nearly 1.5 million barrels of crude each month. So that's still not enough. And what are we going to do with it?
No, it's not, because the remaining refineries online process about 850,000 barrels a day. So that kind of tells you that's a third of the rate that Valero ran at.
Really?
Valero ran around 150,000 barrels a day. So you're about a third of what Valero used to do. Same thing with the Phillips 66 down there in Wilmington. So you're looking at... it helps. I'm certainly not saying it's a step in the wrong direction. It is the fact that they told California, the environmental groups and everything else, to pack sand, okay, which that's good. This evil that's got this state got a hold of this state and this government. Anything that can counteract and fight that, of course, is a good thing. But, again, the main thing is the refineries. That is, I don't understand why the Energy Secretary is not talking to President Trump. I mean, is President Trump in a year now go, hey, what the heck happened to all the California refineries? Why are they all down?
I mean, well, it looks like they are. I mean,
they are, but when the other six out of seven go down.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how that works exactly. I mean, if they override the regulation, I don't know, just based on all the different people that you've been speaking with on this issue, do you think they would stay temporarily?
Well, it goes back to something you brought up a couple times, Aaron, is the legislation has to come with the override. The legislation long term has to come with the invocation of the Defense Production Act and the Supremacy Clause. That legislation has to come with it so they see it long term. If they can get that, if they can tell the refiners, including Valero, because Valero can still come back up, it's a little difficult, but they still can. Basically tell them, okay, the Air Resource Board, California Energy Commission, all these different agencies, all their different rules, they no longer apply. You're under federal EPA. The CARBOB blend, it no longer applies. We're going to be under the United States clean fuels. Then you're going to produce that gasoline. These other things, they don't apply anymore. They're not a part of you. But they'll have to convince these refiners, including Valero, that, okay, like you have mentioned at least twice, Aaron, spot on, too. Like, you got to make sure this isn't going to turn around 2 or 3 years from now.
Yeah,
it has
right.
to become law. It has to become law so they know that, well, okay, now we're in here, we can make some money again, certainly not hemorrhage money, and we can run reliably and run to the best of our ability and good conscience and not be harassed over every single little thing we do. And it's like Stan described one time when he was talking with you. He says, you know, it's like you got a highway patrolman following you everywhere you go. Well, I mean, it was a good analogy.
Yeah.
You know? It's the truth. So if you can convince...
But it's worse than that, because it's a highway patrolman following you, but not one that's watching for you to break the law. Just one that
yes.
has nobody else to follow and a ticket quota to make. And, you know, you
yes.
just add in all those things, right? So you don't even have to violate anything. They're on them. It's not a friendly place to do business. I think everyone is kind of aware of that. That isn't a new idea. But I'll tell you what,
like
in 2026, if we don't make a change, if people don't step up and show up and make a change,
yep.
We'll have to, you know, play the animal song and get out of this place, honestly.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah, I was reading an article the other day about energy costs and which states have the highest energy costs, and I think Florida was one that was one of the lowest. I think it was $135 per household on average, and California was the highest, and it comes in at a whopping $312 average electricity cost. That's a lot, and that's, you know, we pay a lot to live in California, and I think we're kind of like the frog in the boiling water. You know, we stay. And at what point do we have to jump out? Because everything is costing more and more and more. And this fuel thing is going to throw everything over the top. If we
yes.
can get it, like you said.
Well, it's like, remember that movie Pure Country when he was talking about the dancing chicken?
What?
keep turning up the heat on the stage and the chicken starts dancing. It's like, well, why doesn't the chicken just jump off the stage? Here we are in California.
Here we are.
That's actually, right. I like that better than the frogs.
I thought Pure Country. It's like, I wonder why does the chicken just, why didn't he just jump off the stage?
Well.
Why indeed? I don't know. So with this, there is a tremendous amount of interest now, suddenly, magically, in getting this message out. And so you're doing your town hall in Chico to get the word out. We're looking at doing something in Reading with industry people. So I'm going to put out a pitch here. If you know anybody who's in industry, big, small, but related, like, I don't know, trucking, logging, manufacturing, everybody who uses, well, everyone uses oil and gas. Aviation, there you go. All those industries, I'd like to hear from you as far as putting together some town halls, because I have people from the industry side, the statewide industry side, that are like, yeah, let's do it. And we were hoping we could get you and Stan and the professor or some combination thereof to become part of this so that we can bring people up to speed and get industry to the table, because we have a lot of industries that are kind of hiding at this point. Oh, it's not going to be that bad. Oh, it super is going to be that bad, actually.
Yamaha, Budweiser, I mean, you name it. Everybody, the industries are flocking out of here. I mean, Solano County lost Budweiser at Fairfield and lost the refinery in Benicia.
Yeah, who would have thought? Isn't that nuts?
Well, I mean, you can't get beer or gasoline in Solano County. What the heck's going on?
All right, now it's time to leave.
All right, that's crazy. So, yeah, I'm going to put a – I'll put a contact form or an email address or whatever. I haven't done it yet, but I'll put it up there for today on the page. And I hope people will become engaged. If you know somebody has a chain of gas stations, for instance, runs a oil distributing company, trucking, aviation, what are some other ones, all those things, we would very much like to put this together.
You can definitely put my contact information on there. I've been using vacation and stuff, but I'm very passionate about this, like we all are. I just see what's coming. I know what's coming. I flew the plane. I'm working with two of the most phenomenal persons God ever set foot to put on the earth, and that's in Stan and the professor. They're true, true patriots. But I'm not beyond, whatever you need to do, put on the contact to get a hold of me, too, because we don't have a year or two. We're there.
No, we do not. It would be fun if we did. Not really, but, and I really, for folks out there that are thinking, well, these guys, what a bunch of alarmists. If you don't
look at gascrisis.org. Look at gascrisis.org.
Yeah.
You'll challenge yourself. If you're listening to this and you're feeling that way right now, look at those documents. Challenge yourself to do your own investigation. It's not hyperbole. This is the real deal. We have 130 years of combined industry experience between the three of us. Stan has been working in it for over 50 years. The professor's been studying it since 1973, and I ran them, for like 20 years. So it's not hyperbole. Challenge yourself. Look at the web. Look at that domain.
Yeah. The California Fuel and Convenience Association CEO told me last week that they were in Washington, D.C., and they were speaking with legislators 2 hours before your report dropped. It was like, okay. And once that hit, their eyes popped out. But
and now Chevron, and Chevron and Marathon are citing that report.
Right. That's the thing. So all of this is lined up nicely. There's a lot of background. So if you find us annoying and maybe you don't think we're credible, great. Go listen to some video. We've got Vince Fong, the Fongressman, as our former congressman used to call him, the Fongressman from down in the Central Valley. He's got a terrific video. That's from December of last year. So this didn't happen just this year. This started last year. Professor Miche out of USC, he's got some video up there, and there are quite a few media sources on there that you can read. If you're not a listener, not a watcher, go be a reader. But please, please do your diligence, because this is coming, and really apply this to November. We have the ability to do something about it, And if we just continue doing the same old thing or sit home and
Say your vote doesn't count.
Yeah, God. Please don't ever tell me that. I'll have to strangle you. I'll have to commit a crime. That's bad. What is it? I saw a sign that said, I'm going to let God take care of it because if I try to fix it, I'm going to jail. I think that's where we are right now. So let's see. We're in the last 30 seconds. So, Mike, you are fantastic. I know you have to get to the shop there. So we'll let you run off. Town Hall, again, there's a QR code. I've attached the link to the QR code. If you don't know how to work it, you can click the link. But it's going to be limited. So make sure that you get there early and get a, quote, seat in the room. Thank you so much for spending time with us, Mike.
Oh, thanks for having me again, Aaron. Take care.
All right. So gascrisis.org is the name of the game, and you can find the show at WeThePeopleRadio.us.